Hey, sorry it took me so long to get back. He moved towards the cat, trying to keep his stride natural and his trembling fingers hidden in his pockets. I stopped to visit my neighbor, but she was sick, so I stayed the night with her to make sure she was okay. The best kind of lie is a distortion of the truth. That was one of Kyle's favorite mottos, or a paraphrasing of it, at least. It was easier to keep a story straight when most of it was factual. The cat blinked. It maintained its usual pose, pin straight, and with the tail coiled around its legs in a neat loop. Daniel knelt next to it. Someone had refilled the kindling and logs beside the fireplace. Probably Joel. Daniel began stacking the wood in the empty grate. Let's get this house a bit warmer for you. Bran turned to face the fire expectantly. That was a good sign. He was more interested in heat than in interrogation. Daniel waited until baby flames licked over the kindling before speaking again. I saw Kyle, but he's not looking good. He was still in a coma, and the doctors are worried about brain damage. I might go back and visit again in a few days. He hated lying. It left him feeling clammy and dirty. But Bran needed to think he and his secrets were safe. He needed to think Daniel was on his side. The cat looked up at Daniel, but he couldn't read the golden eyes. Its ears maintained a neutral position, but the tip of its tail flicked, suggesting Bran's mind wasn't as calm as the feline's face appeared. I know I missed a day of work, but I'll make up for it. If it's all right with you, I'll keep working on the paths through the garden. It'll be easier for all of us if we can get around a little faster. Bran turned towards the flames and gently lowered himself onto his side. His eyes drifted closed as he enjoyed the warmth. Daniel waited until the flames were established and had plenty of fuel to keep them burning. Then he rose and dusted his hands on his jeans. I'd better get to it, I guess. I'm pretty tired, so I'll go to bed early tonight. But I'll catch up with you again tomorrow, okay? There was no response. Not that he'd expected one, so Daniel made his way towards the door. It took a lot of self-control to keep his pace natural when nerves made him want to sprint out of the building. He threw a glance over his shoulder before slipping outside, but the cat remained lounging by the flames. As he stepped into the woods, he sucked in quick breaths, simultaneously trying to get oxygen to his limbs and resist the urge to hyperventilate. He felt as though he'd just walked beneath a sleeping dragon's nose and come away unscathed. Lying to a cat had been easier, but it had also made it difficult to gauge what Bran was thinking. Does he believe me? Or does he know the truth and is biding his time until retribution? The second option was enough to paralyze him, so Daniel pushed it to the back of his mind and focused on what he needed to do. The day was still early, and to maintain the appearance of normalcy, he would have to go about his job as if nothing were wrong. He went back to his cottage. A collection of blocky shapes had been left outside the building. Joel must have made his delivery while Daniel was away. The largest shape had to be the generator. Daniel ran his hand over the large, box-shaped plastic and metal machine. In addition to it, Joel had brought the fridge, a benchtop dishwasher, and a halogen oven. Crates of supplies sat beside it. The vegetables had wilted from being left outside too long, but they were in abundant supply. It would have looked strange if he ignored the delivery, so Daniel spent an hour moving the new equipment into his cottage. He didn't bother setting up the generator, since he would never get a chance to use it. But he packed the fruit and vegetables away and arranged the new equipment on his bench top, as though he intended to finish its installation later. Then he collected his shovel and gloves from the shed and returned to the garden. He'd started progress on a path between the crypt and the house before discovering Eliza's bones. It made sense to continue that work, though he would need to scope out a new laneway that had a respectful distance from her body. He found where he'd left off and spent a moment in silence beside the woman's grave. The ground, which had been heaped, was starting to sink back towards level as rain and time compressed it. The makeshift cross he'd placed at the grave's head drooped to one side, and he righted it, then looked behind himself. Eliza's tower was visible from his position, but not much of the rest of the house. The sun's angle made it impossible to see inside the shadowed window, but he wondered if she was watching him. "You haven't been forgotten, Eliza. Just wait a little longer." He backtracked along the path and marked a new branch that would circumvent the grave by at least 20 feet. Then he started working, pulling weeds out of the ground, digging up small trees where possible, and slashing through vines and spider webs that crisscrossed the area. By keeping the trail fluid, he could weave it around larger trees and take the path of least resistance, which made his work infinitely faster. He'd reached Craven Manor's front door by the time the sun was close to setting. Bran can't complain about today's work, at least. He wiped the back of his arm across his forehead to clear the sweat that had built there. The exertion had left him drained but satisfied. It felt good to tie off at least one loose end. The crows were coming in to roost. One at a time, they swooped down from the heavens to alight on branches or stones. Their mournful cries drifted through the cooling night air, and their feathers made a rustling cacophony as they shuffled and bickered among themselves. Their cries followed Daniel as he took the path he'd cleared back to the crypt. He stopped outside the stone tomb for a moment to clear away weeds that had started to grow in his absence, and to say a silent goodbye to Annalise. He didn't know if he would be able to help her. He had a theory that she stayed because her mother was trapped, and that once Eliza's ghost was free, Annalise would follow. If Mrs. Kirshner's account was accurate, it sounded like the mother and daughter had formed a close bond. But if freeing Eliza didn't save Annalise, Daniel would have to play the situation by ear. There were no locks, salt, or binding runes on Annalise's door. Maybe the girl herself didn't even know why she was trapped on Earth. If that was the case, there might not be anything Daniel could do for her. She seemed so friendly and curious, he hated the idea of her being left alone with a man as evil as Bran. "Focus. One step at a time. Look after Eliza first." He cleared up a few fallen leaves from the front of the tomb, then stepped back. He wished he could warn her about what was coming, but he bit his tongue. It would be dangerous to show his cards too soon. Annalise was still loyal to her brother. Daniel returned to his cottage. He focused on keeping his routine as mundane as possible. Not much of the house was visible from his window, but for all he knew, Bran might be watching him unseen as a crow in the trees. He kept the window's curtains open as he washed up, prepared dinner, and ate. Then he changed into his bedclothes, pulled the curtains, and blew out the lamp. He sat on the edge of the bed for hours. The clock's hands were barely visible in the darkness, but he watched as they crept past 9, then 10. Finally, at 11, he rose and changed into an all-black outfit. If Bran had been watching the house, he would think Daniel had fallen asleep after dinner. With luck, he would have gotten bored of watching the cottage hours before. Still, Daniel kept his movements small and light as he turned the cottage's handle and crept through a narrow gap in the door. There was no sign of the crow or the cat. Daniel kept his senses alert as he slipped through the shadowed garden. Day birds had fallen silent, but the bats and night animals chattered. Instead of taking the easiest routes, Daniel deliberately kept to the thickest and darkest parts of the garden as he approached the gate. He found the bag he'd hidden in the bushes and dug through its contents for the watch and binoculars. Then he slung the bag over his shoulder and began climbing through the trees. He found a nook between two trunks with ferns growing around. It offered him a view of the cottage without having to get too close, and the ferns helped shield him. He leaned his back against one tree and tucked his legs in. The space was so gloomy that he felt certain anyone looking in his direction would miss him, but it was still hard to repress the impulse to curl into a ball. He kept a watch out as he waited. Every few minutes, he shifted position to keep his legs from falling asleep. Time crept by painfully slowly, and tiredness began to make him drowsy. He pinched his arms until they were blue to keep himself alert. Eventually, his watch ticked over to midnight, and Daniel lifted the binoculars. He could see the cottage's front door and the small cleared space around it. He panned the lens across the space, looking for signs of movement amongst the plants. It was hard not to feel paranoid. By 10 minutes past midnight, he was sweating. At 15 past, the paranoia morphed into a dogged fear that something was creeping up behind him. It took all of his self-control to keep his eyes focused ahead. Finally, at 20 past midnight, a glimmer of motion darted between the trees. Annalise frisked towards the cottage, her dress and hair streaming behind her as she leapt over fallen logs. She was so fast and faint that Daniel had trouble keeping the binoculars trained on her. Daniel was tempted to watch the girl frolic, but she wasn't his primary concern. He turned the binoculars towards the tree boughs and panned across them. A flurry of motion in a large pine 20 meters from the cottage caught his attention, and Daniel had to bite his lip to keep a cheer inside. As he'd hoped, Bran had left the mansion to watch over his sister's play. The great crow alighted in the pine tree and fluffed its feathers as it settled. Fresh nerves shook off the last hint of Daniel's tiredness. He simultaneously felt the press of limited time and paranoia that moving too soon would attract Bran's attention. He watched as Annalise tapped on the cottage door. She tilted her head to the side, waiting for Daniel's response. When the door didn't open, she skirted around the building and began tapping on the window and walls. The massive crow sat as still as a statue. His attention seemed focused on his sister, and he showed no sign of impatience. Daniel finally dared to pack away the binoculars and crept backwards, deeper into the forest. He clutched his bag of supplies close as he wove towards Craven Manor. Chapter 25. Daniel's progress was agonizing. He was afraid that if he moved too slowly, Bran would return to the manor before his task was finished. But if he went too fast, he risked making too much noise. He was breathless and shaking with tension by the time he reached the manor's stone steps. Crows shuffled above Daniel as he jogged up to the front door. He didn't think they were sentient enough to communicate with Bran, but he kept one eye on them. Too much chatter or the flap of wings as they flew away would be enough to alert Bran to the intrusion. He released a held breath as he passed through the doorway and into Craven Manor. It was nearly impossible to see without a light, but Daniel couldn't risk burning any of the candles. He had to make his way by touch and memory, helped by the thin portions of moonlight glinting through the grimy windows. Leaf litter crunched under his feet as he crossed the foyer. The fire had gone out long ago, but its embers still released warmth into the cold night air. Daniel found the stairs and began climbing. He cringed as the aged wood groaned under his weight. Two eyes watched him from the landing. Daniel's breath caught as they affixed on him. Then he pressed a hand to his heart as he realized he was seeing the portrait. Not much of the painting was visible, just the eyes and a hint of the nervously smiling lips. On the landing, he turned towards the stairs to the third floor. The higher he went, the harder it became to see anything. Spiderwebs made him twitch as his questing hands brushed through them. A creak echoed from deeper in the house, and Daniel had to force himself to keep his eyes ahead. Just a board flexing as it cools. That's all. He hung close to the banister as he ascended. Even before he saw the door, he heard the noise of fingers being scraped over wood. It had filled him with horror before, and its effect was no less potent that night, but for a wholly different reason. Instead of fearing what would happen if the woman was allowed out, he felt sick to think of what she'd endured. For 2 centuries, she'd been trapped in that tower, clawing every day to be allowed out, but never heard or seen. He risked a whisper. "I'm here, Eliza." The scrabbling seemed to grow louder as he stepped into the landing. The hallways extended to the left and the right, swallowed in shadows. The stone pathway ahead was a pit of oppressive black. Only the noises floating out of it proved it still existed. The gasping, urgent breaths had become audible beneath the scratching. Daniel finally dared to take the torch out of his bag. He turned it on and pointed it down the passageway. The beam was small and pale. He'd deliberately chosen a cheap LED torch to keep its light subtle, but it picked out flashes of the black door, the white cross, and the bronze lock. "Eliza?" He hadn't heard any sounds to suggest Bran had left the gardens, but Daniel still kept his voice quiet. The clawing was definitely louder. The gasps sounded hungry and desperate. Daniel lowered the bag to the ground and dug through it. "Just a moment, Eliza. You'll be out soon." He found the bottle of water, unscrewed its cap, then knelt by the edge of the door. The line of salt was clear and bright in the torchlight, and Daniel drenched it with water. It was the only thing he'd been able to think of to get all of the salt out of the textured stone. He spilt the entire 2 liters over it, then used his hand to brush the liquid away. Keening noises punctuated the gasps. Fingers scrabbled around the underside of the door, searching for an opening. Daniel threw the empty water bottle aside and took the last item out of the bag, a hammer. There was no way to keep this part of his task silent. He took aim, then brought it down against the lock. The impact sent a jolt through his arm and jarred his shoulder, but the metal fell away with a clatter. Using his foot, Daniel pushed the lock out of the way. Then he reached for the handle. The noises inside had ceased. Daniel imagined Eliza waiting on the other side of the door, knowing her freedom was seconds away. He twisted the handle. The metal made a horrific screech as it moved for the first time in 200 years, but the latch clicked as it came free. Daniel pulled open the door and stepped back to give the ghost free passage. Nothing moved past him, though. Daniel lifted his torch and directed it through the black doorway. His beam picked up 2 feet of stone passageway, then narrow stairs, climbing into the darkness. No one, ghost or human, stood on the other side. Has she already passed over, maybe? Was opening the door enough to give her peace? He craned his neck to see up the passageway, but the circular staircase twisted out of sight. Eliza? His instincts begged him to back away, but Daniel stepped through the door. The air felt colder inside the tower, and not just by a degree or two. His breath misted when he exhaled. Tiny flakes of frost grew on the stone walls. Daniel touched one of them and recoiled as the chill burrowed into his skin. He couldn't leave without being sure the ghost had been set free. He climbed the first stair, stopped to listen, then took another step, a third, and a fourth. The tower's staircase wasn't opulent, like the rest of the building. No windows lined the twisting passage, and the walls were bare. The stairs were narrow and steep, and they curled at such a sharp angle that several times Daniel felt afraid of missing his step. This isn't a guest room like the other chambers in the house. It's a prisoner's abode. The higher he climbed, the colder he felt. Wind whistling through tiny cracks in the stone built into a mournful tune. Daniel kept his torch moving across the walls and steps, constantly on guard for either a ghostly figure coming down towards him or Bran coming up behind him. He began to feel as though the stairs would never stop. His leg muscles ached, and heat in his core battled the chill that was crawling into his skin. He tried to remember how tall the tower was from when he'd seen its outside. It had reached a little higher than the roof, but not so high that he thought it justified so many steps. Then his torch picked up a shadowed doorway ahead. Daniel quickened his pace and burst into the room at the top of the tower. His breathing was painful, and frost prickled his lips as the moisture on them froze. He panned the light over the space, moving slowly and trying to understand each of the bizarre items littered there. The tower room was circular and no more than 10 feet wide. A bundle of blankets and a pillow made a crude bed against one wall. An empty rusted pail lay on its side against the opposite stones. 2 small novels had been stacked against it. Immensely thick curtains, so old they were barely more than rags, framed the narrow window. The window! He turned off the light as he swore under his breath. If Bran had been looking towards the house, he would have seen Daniel's light. He could only pray the mansion's owner had remained facing the cottage. Eliza? The tiny room offered nowhere for her to hide. He would have assumed her ghost was invisible, except he'd already seen her at the window several times. Something about the space felt off. Daniel squinted in the thin moonlight coming through the window as he tried to pinpoint what was making the hairs rise across the back of his neck. The bed was so small that an adult would struggle to lie in it, even with their legs tucked up. He knelt beside it and plucked at the blanket. The cloak of dust covering it was just as thick as what lined the stone floor. A small object lay nestled under the pillow, and Daniel, feeling guilty for disturbing the personal space, tweaked the decayed clump of fabric and feathers back. A small, hand-sewn cloth doll had been hidden beneath the pillow. Its eyes were crooked, and it barely had any wool hair left. Even after being lost for so long, it was clear the doll had been much loved. The threads were all loose from where it had been held, stroked, and squeezed. This was a child's room. He turned towards the bucket. A dark, powdery substance coated its insides, underneath the pervading dust. He swiped a finger over the grime and rubbed it between his index and thumb. It was gritty and held a strange, almost oily texture. Charcoal. He recoiled, wiping his fingers clean on his jeans with feverish urgency. He'd found the bucket Annalise's burnt bones had been stored in. The 2 books on the floor were both small. One was a work of fiction, the other the Bible. Daniel turned to look at the window. Wooden shutters had been left open. The curtains were bedraggled and moth-eaten, but 100 years ago they would have done a remarkable job at blocking out all traces of light. So this was Annalise's room. A burning revulsion flooded Daniel's stomach and made shivers dig into him. Mrs. Kirshner had said Eliza was a kind, if shy, woman who loved her daughter. If that was the truth, why had Annalise been sequestered in a space that was barely better than a prison cell? The bed was well used. She must have spent months, if not years, in the tiny room. Daniel's uncertainty was morphing into panic. He'd felt so confident about his purpose, convinced that Bran was the evil party, and certain that Eliza deserved to be freed. Now he didn't know what to think. But the tower door was already open, and its lock couldn't be reaffixed. A noise echoed in the small space. Fingernails dragging across stone. Daniel's heart lurched as he turned to face the open doorway, his only escape from the prison. The entryway was empty. Daniel swallowed as he took a hesitant step towards the door. The scratching was relentless. The source was impossible to pinpoint. The sound seemed to be coming from ahead of him, his sides, above, and below all at once. Moonlight lit the tower room, but it couldn't penetrate more than the first 2 staircase steps. "Get out, you idiot! Get out!" He took another step forwards. As he reached towards it, the door shifted. His nerves were keyed tight, and Daniel lunged for the escape. He was a second too late as the door crashed closed. The boom was impossibly loud. Daniel yelled, but the door's reverberations drowned out his cry. He pressed his hands to his ears and staggered back, tripping over the bed and hitting the wall. "Eliza isn't gone." Terror clenched his insides. It felt like a vice squeezing his chest, until his heart felt ready to burst, and every inhale threatened to crack ribs. He looked from the door to the window and back. The door had no lock or handle on his side. It had been designed to prevent escape. He imagined himself as the tower's new victim, hidden away and trapped there for an eternity, spending his years pacing at the window and scratching at the door. Craven Manor's pet, its dark secret, he would never be discovered again. "No, no, no!" The word bounced through his head, loud enough that he had to open his mouth to give it away to escape. "No!" Daniel crossed to the window. The torch felt cold in his shaking fingers. He knew his cottage had an uninterrupted view of the tower, but he couldn't see it in the wan moonlight. He didn't even know if Annalise had stayed by the house when he didn't reply to her knocks, or if Bran continued to watch over her. But he had to try. He turned on the light and guessed a direction. The beam was weak. He could barely see the circle it cast, but he prayed it would be enough to catch Bran's attention as he panned it across the trees. "Making a deal with the devil to save my soul." His grandmother had said the phrase to him once, when she'd signed the papers authorizing the chemotherapy. The words had never felt more real or more awful to Daniel. He was begging a killer to save him from death. The scratching, scrabbling sounds had grown closer. Stress made Daniel's skin prickle as though a low electrical current ran through him. He kept the light moving, searching for the cottage among the trees, hoping against hope Bran would turn to look at the tower. Underneath the scratching came the rasping, dry breaths. Terror rooted Daniel to the spot. His fingers shook so badly that the light jittered until it was practically useless. The urge to turn and scan the room was overwhelming, but he couldn't lose focus. Something deep in his gut told him turning away from the window would be a very dangerous move. Shh! The nails scraped over stone, grinding inexorably closer. An undercurrent of desperation rippled through the gasps. Shh! He could almost feel the reverberations through the floor. Sweat trickled into Daniel's eye, but he didn't even dare blink. Shh! It was just behind him, so close that air ghosted across the back of his neck as the stranger exhaled. It was like a razor blade of ice scraping over the already chilled skin. He couldn't stand it any longer. He turned. Chapter 26. Daniel pressed his back against the window. The torch's light jittered as it tried to cut through the shadows. It wasn't this dark before. The window's curtains were wide open. The moonlight should have been able to illuminate the space. It brought back memories of the afternoon in Bran's study, where multifaceted shadows crawled across the walls and smothered the fireplace's flames. Only this time, the shadows were crawling up Daniel's legs. Daniel gasped as he saw the black marks writhe over him. Wherever they touched, ice spread over his skin. They were growing higher, over his hips, and clinging to his torso. A block of thick shadows had gathered before him. They were solid, independent of any surface, and seemed to grow on top of each other in a writhing, struggling mess. He turned the torch towards the creature. The darkness pulled the light in, swallowing it. Tendrils reached towards the torch. When they touched it, the bulb flickered and died. Frost coated the plastic cover, and Daniel choked out a cry as he dropped it. He was alone with the darkness, trapped in the tower. He could see nothing except rioting layers of shadows. He could feel nothing except the cold. The shadows were at his throat. the muscles constricted, strangling his breath. Daniel clutched at the vulnerable skin. He could feel the cold radiating from the shadows, but couldn't get under them. As he scrabbled, he touched the leather strap hung from his neck. Daniel pulled out Mrs. Kirshner's talisman. He could see the silver-wrapped vial. It wasn't quite glowing, but the darkness couldn't swallow it the way it had everything else in the room. The shadows recoiled. Daniel lifted the talisman higher. The pressure around his throat relaxed, and he dragged in a ragged gasp. Moonlight filtered through the glass once again, and it revealed the creature that lived in the attic. Part human, part monster, the figure was all horror. Black hair coursed around a woman's twisted face. Her eyes flashed black, and when her lips parted, vicious teeth glinted.
"Move on, Eliza!"
Daniel took a half-step towards her, the vial held ahead of himself. He had no idea if the specter could understand him, or even had the ability to follow his instructions, but it was the only thing he could think of through the stress.
"Your time on Earth is over. Move on!"
Terror and anger twisted the face. She flinched back from the talisman, retreating an inch at a time as Daniel crept forward. Then her body seemed to bulge. The inky shadows swirled like smoke, billowing and growing until she filled half the room. Her features distorted until they were unrecognizable as a human, and the bared teeth expanded into fangs.
"Move on!"
Daniel's words came out as a gasp. Every muscle in his body shook as freezing air radiated over him. He ignored his screaming instincts and inched closer, until his outstretched arm was inches from the swirling black mass. Eliza exploded towards him. The impact slammed into Daniel's chest. He heard glass break. Everything was darkness, motion, and fear. Then he was falling. His limbs struggled for any kind of purchase, but they thrashed through empty air. Glimpses of the tower's outside walls rushed past his eyes, followed by a flash of the nearing ground. Then he was wrapped in the sound of feathers and the sensation of plucking talons. He felt pulled in every direction. There was no breath left in his body to scream. The motion and sound felt as though it would never end, but then he slammed into the ground, and lights burst across his vision. Daniel blinked. He lay on the mossy earth below the tower, half tangled in stunted shrubs and vines. A ringing noise echoed in his ears, and his vision had grown blurry. He gagged when he tried to breathe, and twisted to the side. His first thought was that he'd gone insane. A massive black bird fluttered across the ground as it tried to right itself. It was easily as big as Daniel. He gaped at it, horrified, before understanding clicked into place. Bran had caught him. The bird flapped, and the massive wings gusted dirt and dead leaves over Daniel. Then suddenly, Bran was in the bird's place. His black hair hung in disarray, and his gray, papery skin looked nearly transparent in the moonlight. He crawled to Daniel and clutched his shoulder.
"What have you done?"
More accusation than question, the words were wheezed through bared teeth. Bran's blackened fingers carried no more weight than the feathers he'd just worn. Daniel opened his mouth to answer, but his tongue felt numb. He rolled away from Bran and threw up.
"Well, you are not dead, at least."
Bran's rasping voice was clipped and tight.
"Can you sit up?"
Daniel tried. His head swam, but his muscles were starting to respond to his commands. He wiped the back of his hand across his mouth as he pulled his knees close to his chest.
"I opened the tower door. I'm sorry."
"Did she get out? Has she escaped?"
When Daniel didn't immediately respond, Bran snarled,
"Answer me!"
For the first time, Bran was showing real anger.
"No,"
Daniel corrected himself as his fuzzy vision captured the man's wide eyes and flared nostrils.
"Not anger. Terror.
I washed the salt away, broke the lock."
Admitting it hurt, but he sensed that hiding anything from Bran would be a mistake. "I don't know if she's out. She slammed the door behind us, then threw me through the window."
"Damn it,"
Bran grimaced as he ran his hands through his hair. Then he reached towards Daniel.
"Show me your hands."
"What?"
"Let me see your hands!"
Daniel obediently held them out. They were sweaty and still shaking. Bran took them in his own, the touch no more solid than a breeze, and Daniel had to suppress a flinch at the sensation. What he could feel of Bran's skin was cold and unnervingly spongy. A corpse's fingers. Bran turned Daniel's hands over, then exhaled and released them.
"You are not infected. That is some small luck, at least."
"Infected? Like the people from Flinton?" Daniel thought he knew the answer to his question, and it filled him with sick horror. Bran's glance was sharp.
"You discovered our lost town, did you?"
He was afraid that Eliza had infected me. Daniel's mind reeled as he tried to piece together the puzzle. He felt like he might be sick again. A supernatural plague spread through the town. But you weren't responsible for it, were you? Bran stood and turned away, but not before Daniel glimpsed his mouth twist with grief.
"No. Flinton was dead before I even knew it was in danger. Can you stand, Mr. Kane?"
Daniel's legs may as well have been made of rubber, but he willed them to lift him to his feet. He staggered and pressed a hand to the mansion's wall as dizziness crashed through him. "What exactly happened? I saw the corpses and the doors torn off the church. It looked like a monster had run through the streets."
"That is not far from the truth."
Bran crossed his arms over his chest. His sunken, vein-mapped cheeks looked grayer than normal. Multiple shadows coiled away from where he stood, some snaking into the forest, and others climbing the mansion's stone walls.
"Famine struck the town while I was away at school, and the villagers started calling for a witch hunt. It put the idea in my mother's head that Annalise was filled with demons. She locked my sister in the tower, partially to hide her from the villagers, and partially to contain her. But months went by without rain. Eventually, Eliza's mind and will crumbled, and she brought Annalise to the church to be killed."
Daniel struggled to reconcile the new information as his head swam. He could sense bruises growing across his back and side where he'd hit the ground, and as the shock-induced numbness faded, he felt the sting of a multitude of small cuts where glass shards had clipped him.
"So she was responsible for Annalise's death after all?"
"Yes. When we spoke in my study, I told you nearly the whole of the story, but I omitted some details that were especially unpalatable to me."
Bran's smile was bleak and humorless.
"When I arrived home from school, I found all traces of Annalise erased from the manor, as I already told you. I eventually discovered her bones in what had been her room and her prison, the tower. I confronted my mother."
"You didn't kill her?"
"Not immediately. I heaped blame on her head. How could she murder her own daughter? If there had been any evil in the house, it was her. I suspect my words broke some part of her. She changed, became less than human."
He began pacing, the anxious motion making his hair flow as though it were weightless.
"I had not known it, but she had been containing the old world magic her whole life. She was a shapeshifter who had repressed her nature, terrified it was a curse."
Small details were starting to make sense. Eliza hadn't let the doctor examine her. She invited no visitors into her home. She had even sent the maids away. Those were the actions of a woman desperately afraid she might expose her true nature. Bran continued, his hoarse voice cracking.
"A monstrous creature of shadow escaped the house.
I did not know where it was going and did not try to follow it. I only found out later that she went to Flinton. Perhaps she was trying to shift the blame for Annalise's death from herself to the townspeople, or maybe she was simply lashing out at the nearest habitation. Either way, she spread a terrible plague through the town, a rot that grew from the inside, incurable, and with no hope of survival.
I found her bones in the garden, though. Daniel looked behind them. The night seemed unnaturally silent. His instincts said he wasn't safe now that the tower door was unlocked, but he couldn't bring himself to stop Bran's story.
Yes. After 2 days, she returned home as a human. I found her stumbling and raving in the gardens. When I tried to touch her, she lashed out at me.
He held up his hands, his fingers tipped with black.
She touched me with the plague. When I saw what was happening, I realized her existence created an unspeakable threat, not just for myself, but for anyone she came in contact with. I killed her to prevent her from spreading the infection further.
Bran tilted his head back to look up at the tower, and his eyes tightened.
I did not expect the shadow creature to survive after her mortal body died. It spewed out of her mouth like a vile pillar of smoke and nearly killed me before I trapped it in the tower.
And I set it free.
Daniel groaned. He tried to push away from the wall, but unsteadiness threatened to topple him.
I suppose you visited Flinton. That is what infused you with doubt, correct?
Yeah.
Daniel swallowed. I was told you were responsible for what happened there.
Then this is my own fault, more than anyone else's.
The shadows spreading out from Bran twisted like angry snakes.
With the town dead and no one allowed to visit it, rumors about its demise were rife. I spent months spreading my own version of events. I visited pubs and wrote anonymously to influential members of society. In my tale, I was the villain. I removed all mention of my mother from the story and claimed that I alone had killed the town.
Daniel frowned. Why would you do that?
Protection. I worried about what would happen to Annalise and to the creature in the tower if strangers came to the house. By spreading the report that I was an old-world monster, hungry for blood, and capable of poisoning a village, I could make people fear me. A handful of laborers came to loot the manor in the years after Annalise's death. Simply making my presence known was enough to frighten them away.
Pale lips stretched into a ghastly smile.
I am sure my appearance aided in that effort.
So you taught people to fear your home to keep them away?
Precisely. As time went by, Flinton and Craven Manor grew fainter in people's memories. The forests hid them from curious eyes. Stories became myths. And now the youngest generation, your generation, Mr. Kane, have not so much as heard of them. And I had intended for it to always stay that way, forgotten, hidden, safe where we can cause no more harm.
And to keep Eliza trapped?
She is the plague.
Bran's fingers twitched.
Now that she is unchained, she will be eager to feed and regain her strength. If she finds her way to any towns, the plague will spread, and nothing can be done for those infected.
Daniel pictured Mrs. Kirshner, terrified and alone in her apartment, cradling her cat as the plague turned her veins black and bubbled her skin. He lurched away from the wall and grabbed at Bran. Touching the other man felt like clutching spider webs. They were real and tangible, but had no substance. The sensation was alarming, but he didn't let go.
We've got to stop her!
The man's gray face twisted.
How? Salt will slow her, but cannot contain her. I had used bolts from the church she worshipped at, but now that they are broken, I have no other recourse.
Daniel scrambled for the strap around his neck and pulled the talisman out.
What about this? I used it against her in the tower. She was afraid of it.
Bran bent closer. As his fingers traced over the beads and vial, his eyes lit up.
Holy water! Pure silver! I can feel the energy flowing out like heat. And if I can feel it, she will as well. It may be enough.
You think it can kill her?
I do not know, but we can try.
He turned to examine the house. His movements had become sharp and tense.
My mother will have left the tower by now, but if we are lucky, she might still be contained within the house. Come quickly, Mr. Kane. I will need your help.
Chapter 27 Bran led Daniel along the side of the house. His coat flapped behind him in the cold night air, and his vein-mottled skin looked almost ghostly in the moonlight. Daniel's right leg ached, and his joints were still jarred from the fall, but desperation pushed him to match Bran's half-run. They rounded the mansion's corner, weaving between dead trees and snagging vines. Bran moved with the litheness of a cat, and seemed to almost float between the obstacles. That was one of the perks of being made from shadows, Daniel supposed. As they neared the front entrance, the murmur of restless crows filled the cold night air. Bran sent a glance over his shoulder.
I have very little strength, so I will rely on you to be my hands. We must spread salt across the exits before my mother has a chance to leave the house. Once she is outside the manor, cornering or containing her will be impossible.
Salt. Yes.
Adrenaline kept him on his feet as he stumbled, half blind, through the weeds and bushes.
Just tell me where to put it.
Any unlocked door or open window.
Bran ran a hand along the tree's bark as he passed under it, and the crows sent up a mournful cry.
Any escape large enough for a human to move through, and close enough to the ground that you could survive the jump. And be careful. She is trapped in the same sphere as I am, the limbo between the living and the dead. Do you understand? She will be looking for prey to feed on, and she can hurt both you and Annalise.
They reached the open door at the top of the stairs. Bran paused just inside the foyer, his back straight and chin lifted as he scanned the darkness. Daniel held his breath, and together they listened for motion inside the building. It was deathly quiet. Bran inclined his head towards Daniel.
Do you remember where the salt is?
The little cupboard behind the kitchens.
Good. I will go ahead and search for my mother. I suspect she will be lethargic after being contained for so long. I will buy you what time I can. Keep the talisman close for now, but be ready to pass it to me once she is trapped.
Okay.
Daniel felt for the little vial under his shirt and squeezed it.
Good luck.
To you as well, Mr. Kane.
Bran fell forward as if lunging towards the floor. The man vanished in the space of a heartbeat, and in his place was the black cat. Its amber eyes glinted in traces of moonlight as it bounded towards the stairs. It bled into the shadows, and a moment later was gone. Daniel ran his eyes over the space, trying to gauge how much salt he would need to block all of the broken windows. The foyer was oppressive during the day, but at night he could only make out small patches of it, where moonlight sneaked through the glass. Finding his way through the maze-like back rooms would be impossible without light, and he'd lost his torch in the tower. He jogged towards the fireplace, where the half-melted candles stood between the empty photo frames and vases. He snatched a three-pronged candelabrum up and struggled to get it lit. The trio of flames were small, only really enough to light his face and 2 feet of the darkness that stretched ahead, but they were better than nothing. Daniel kept half of his attention on the staircase and the higher floors as he crossed to the servants' area at the back of the building. It was hard to know if the silence was a good sign or a warning. Bran seemed to think Eliza would be slow and cautious after her incarceration, but they had spent a lot of time in the yard. There was no guarantee the woman was still in the house, and if she was, which section she might be creeping through. A board groaned above him, and Daniel flinched. He held his candles higher and scanned the barely visible chandelier and the plaster ceiling. It might be the wind. It's an old building. The metal door handle to the kitchens screeched as he turned it. Daniel tried to swallow around his dry tongue. The collage of abandoned pots and dust-coated plates glimmered in his light. He slipped around the massive wooden bench and towards the door hidden in the back of the room. Something clattered on the second floor. Daniel froze, breath held, but the sound didn't repeat. He quickened his movements as he entered the storage room and knelt beside the bags of salt. Thank goodness for Eliza's paranoia. She probably never expected to be trapped by her own precautions. The bags were too heavy to lift. Daniel gripped the corners of one Hessian sack and tried to drag it, but it weighed more than he did. He felt tiny twitches as the fibers, weakened by age, frayed. Another floorboard groaned, this time from the opposite side of the house. Daniel leapt back into the kitchen and hunted through the benches and drawers for a sharp knife. He found one that was discolored with rust, but still gouged a chip out of the tabletop when he stabbed it. He took it back to the pantry and used it to slash a hole in the bag's side. Liters of fine white salt poured out. Daniel kicked the bag, encouraging it to spill its load, until only a third remained. Even mostly empty, it still carried at least 20 kilos, and that would be plenty. Daniel heaved the bag over his shoulder and grunted as the weight taxed aching joints. He snatched the candelabrum off the floor and moved through the kitchen, knocking chairs askew in his haste. Block any door or window a human could slip through. He started by shutting the most obvious escape, the front door. The hinges were stiff, and he had to lean his weight into the wood to move it, but a satisfying click echoed through the space as it shut. Daniel put the candles down and kicked the leaf litter away from the entrance. He didn't know if the salt line had to be unbroken to work, but it wasn't a time to take risks. Once the space was clear, he heaved the bag off his shoulder and, cradling it in both arms, tipped it so that a stream of the white crystals poured out. He drew the line from stone to stone, completely blocking the doorway, then stepped back. Daniel considered the windows. They were high. He would need to stand on a ladder to reach them, and just wide enough for a human to squeeze through. They had latches, which meant they could be opened, and some were broken. Daniel dragged the sack behind himself and ran a line of salt along both windowed walls. Finally, he gave the same treatment to the doors leading to the servants' quarters and the other doors leading off from the foyer. He didn't know the house well enough to guess what kind of back doors and staff entrances it might be hiding, so it was safer to simply block them off wholesale. Once Eliza comes down the stairs, she'll be trapped in the foyer, theoretically. He glanced towards the staircase, but there was no sign of either Bran or the shadow creature. No more noises came from the higher floors. Daniel retreated to his candles near the front door and tied the top of the sack to make a strap. It still held 4 or 5 liters of salt, and he slung it over his shoulders like a satchel. "Am I missing anything? I've covered every escape on the ground floor, and the upstairs windows should all be sealed. Except..." Something rattled on the second floor to his right. Daniel twitched towards it, one hand braced on the makeshift satchel, and waited. A board flexed above and to the left. Silence reigned for a beat. Then one of the crows outside the door cawed, making Daniel flinch. The house had 2 broken windows, the tower and the third floor window Kyle had been pushed through. Bran believed Eliza wouldn't make any kind of jump that could hurt her, but the broken window had a tree beside it. The gnarled structure could be climbed. The chances that Eliza would find it were small, but even small chances were too risky to ignore. Daniel ran for the stairs. He hung close to the banister and rolled his feet to minimize the noise he made, but the carpeted steps still groaned under his weight. "Has Bran found her yet? Or is she hiding? He was tempted to call out to the other man, but advertising their locations could only put them both in more danger. He reached the second floor landing. Annalise's terrified, paint-rendered smile overlooked him as he crept towards the stairs' second flight. He caught a scrabbling noise coming from the hall to his right. Daniel lifted his candelabrum higher, but all he managed to illuminate were the red-painted walls and dark wood floors. Block her escape first. Find Bran after that. His pulse beat painfully quickly as he climbed the second flight. He felt the tower's presence before he could see it. A cutting, cold wind brushed through his hair and made the candles flicker. The breeze had been funneled down the twisting stairs and through the tower's open door, and it chilled Daniel to his core. He kept one eye on the inky stone hallway as he crept towards the room with the broken window. Its door was shut, and Daniel opened it as quietly as he could. More cold air came through the bedchamber's broken window. Daniel shuddered. He held his candelabrum well ahead of himself and used it to fight back the shadows that clustered in the space. Chairs were upended, and a vase lay broken on the floor from Bran and Kyle's fight. The wardrobe door hung open, and Daniel caught a glimpse of rotting robes stored inside. Daniel placed the candelabrum on the dresser beside the door and tipped his salt bag. The fine white grains tumbled over the carpet as he began creating a line across the doorway. His breath plumed in the frosty air. Wait. That's wrong. Daniel pulled the bag up, stopping the line half-drawn, to stare at the white mist drifting out of his mouth. The outside was cold at that time of year, but not cold enough to cause condensation. It was reminiscent of the frigid air he'd felt in the tower.
She's here. He wet his lips. Should I call Bran, or will that make her flee?
Prickles crawled over his skin. He stood in the doorway, facing into the room. It left his back painfully exposed to the hallways and the stairwell. He tried to listen, but no sounds made it past the rasp of his own ragged breaths. The candles guttered, their flames struggling to stay alive. Daniel silently begged them to hold on. Their glow made little progress against the dark, but it was better than being blind.
Where is she?
He let his eyes travel across the broken furniture. The room didn't hold many places a human-sized being could be concealed. One place his candlelight didn't reach was the space underneath the sagging queen bed. He flicked his attention towards the window at the opposite side of the room. Its curtains swirled in the cool night air. If he tried to confront Eliza, she could leap through the hole in the glass. And once she was outside, wrapped in the twisting, maze-like garden, there would be no way to get her back. Daniel took a step into the room. He hung left, close to the wall, to give the bed the widest berth he could manage. The candles stayed on the dresser, and they continued to splutter, making the shadows dance across the walls. His outstretched arm bumped the wardrobe. He had to shuffle a few inches closer to the bed to slink around it. The smell of rotting fabric grew worse as he passed the open door, and it turned his stomach. A symphony of night animals and creaking branches floated through the window. Glass crunched under Daniel's feet, but he still didn't take his eyes off the bed. His chest was impossibly tight, and his mouth parched as he reached a hand into the bag of salt.
Gently, quietly,
he pulled out a fistful of salt. Grains ran between his fingers as he spread it across the window's casing and shards of broken glass. A soft hissing noise spread through the room. Daniel's fingers shook as he returned them to the bag and brought out another handful of salt. The sound seemed to wrap around him, coming from all directions at once. It was simultaneously frightened, angry, and aggressive. And it wasn't coming from under the bed. The realization made Daniel's heart skip a beat. As the last of the salt fell from his fingers, he glanced behind himself, where the wardrobe stood at his back. Two cold eyes glared out of the darkness. Chapter 28. Daniel opened his mouth, but he couldn't make a sound. The wardrobe's half-open door was less than an arm's length away,